Sewn-eye bonnets and riding boots are plenty as we begin Mansfield Park, our 10-part adaptation of Jane Austen's classic story of Fanny Price's bid to find a position in society.
My dearest Lady Bertram, sister, 11 long years have passed since we found ourselves last together at our father's house, and I am grateful beyond measure for the good fortune which has smiled upon you and
your dear husband, Sir Thomas. I regret with all my heart the loss of the once warm connection between us.
Lady Bertram's sister, Frances Price, had married unwisely. She had married for love.
As I prepare for the birth of my 9th child, I write to tell you that my beloved husband remains disabled from active service.
Indeed he was, yet still quite able to enjoy good company and strong liquor.
I ask that you might consider taking into your household one of my older children, who should, I am sure, prove quite useful to you. This would provide a mighty relief to me in the coming months, and I should remain forever in your debt. Yours most affectionately,
Your sister Frances Price.
The breach between Frances Price and her two more respectably married sisters, Lady Bertram and Mrs. Norris, had remained constant since her marriage, which was neither approved nor successful. Now Frances found herself poor. Her children were poor, and she was eager to regain the family she had previously so carelessly sacrificed.
Sir Thomas, as to the matter of my sister, Mrs. Price.
It is certainly unfortunate to see a woman reduced to such a pitiful state.
It is a terrible thing to observe the effect of a willful nature upon a life which might have held such promise.
Nine children is indeed a burden to bear, Mrs. Norris. Oh, Pug, no cream cakes today. You know how they disagree with you.
What if we were, amongst us, to undertake the care of the eldest girl, Fanny?
A girl?
She is 9 years old, just the age to require more attention than her poor mother could possibly give.
A girl, you say? Pug, do sit!
Well, a girl might be acceptable. A boy, however, would prove more useful to me in the West Indies, would he not?
But a girl would make a favourable companion.
Yes, that is true.
She would have much to learn.
And who better to teach her, Sir Thomas? Why, she would be blessed to be instructed by you as to all that is right and proper in the world.
It might be correct to offer the child an education. Indeed, I think myself resolved to be a real and consistent patron to the young person.
What generosity.
Let her make her home here, at Mansfield Park. We will endeavour to do our duty by her.
Indeed.
I hope she will not tease my poor Pug. I've only just got Julia to leave her alone.
There will be some difficulty in our way as to the distinction proper to be made between the girls as they grow up, to make Fanny remember, without depressing her spirits too far, that she is not a Miss Bertram. Mm. I should wish to see them good friends, but they cannot be equals. Their rank, fortune, rights and expectations will always be different.
And so it is that all is soon agreed, and in no time at all, Fanny Price is removed from her home, her mother, and all that is of comfort to her in the world.
Fanny, I am Sir Thomas, your uncle.
I am very pleased to meet you, sir.
Whatever is the matter with you, girl? Are you ill?
I wonder, ma'am.
What is it?
When I am to see my mother.
You are to live with us now, Fanny. Did your mother not explain?
She told me I should be going on a long journey, sir.
Quite right. And now, with your arrival here at Mansfield Park, you are to begin a new life.
But shall I not see my mother? And my brother William again? My mother is to have a new baby.
And you would only be in the way, Fanny. You are a very fortunate girl indeed to be here with your uncle and aunt. Extremely fortunate.
This is our eldest son, Tom.
I don't believe you're almost 10, Fanny. Are all the children in Portsmouth as undersized as you?
Really, Tom?
And Edmund?
How are you, Fanny Price?
Mariah?
Fanny.
And finally, Julia.
Look at her clothes.
We're delighted to offer you a home and an education, Fanny. All we ask is that you work hard and do your duty.
I am sure in time you shall get used to us, Fanny, and we, no doubt, shall become accustomed to you.
It requires longer, however, than Mrs. Norris is inclined to allow for Fanny to be reconciled to Mansfield Park and the separation from her family. Her feelings are acute and too little understood to be properly attended to. The grandeur of the house astonishes, but cannot console her, and she spends the better part of her days sobbing quietly alone.
Oh, my dear little cousin, whatever can be the matter? Are you ill? Is somebody angry with you?
I think you're sorry to leave your mama. But you must remember, Fanny, that you are with relations who all love you and want to make you happy.
Do you think me very ungrateful, Edmund?
I could never think that. Come, let us walk in the park and you shall tell me all about your brothers and sisters.
William did not like that I should come away. He said he should miss me very much indeed.
But your brother will write to you, Fanny.
He said to me that I must write first. But I have no paper.
Come with me into the breakfast room. We shall find pen, paper, everything we need. You could tell William all about us and...
The peacocks.
Yes. And maybe you should mention Pug and how she always eats the cushions when Mother's not in the room.
And the place where the nightingales nest.
I can show.
From this day forward, Fanny has a friend. And the kindness of her cousin Edmund gives her better spirits with everyone else.
Aunt Norris, only think. Fanny cannot put the map of Europe together. She cannot tell the principal rivers in Russia. She has never even heard of Asia Minor.
Is this true, Fanny?
I do not always know the answers to certain questions.
By the age of 5, we could say by heart the order of the kings and queens of England and the dates of their successions.
Very true indeed, my dears, but you are blessed with wonderful memories, and your poor cousin Fanny here probably has none at all.
And do you know, Fanny says she does not want to learn music or drawing.
My dear child, that is the most stupid thing I've ever heard. A girl not learning music? What will you do when you're a woman, Fanny, if you cannot play the piano?
Such are the counsels by which Mrs. Norris assists to form her niece's minds. So it is hardly surprising that with all their promising talents, they should be entirely deficient in the less common acquirements of self-knowledge, generosity, and humility.
Julia, I forbid you to take my green shoes.
You cannot forbid me. Only Mama can forbid me.
As to the education of her daughters, Lady Bertram pays not the smallest attention. She is a woman who spends her days sitting nicely dressed upon a sofa, thinking more of her pug than of her children. Before long, 5 years have passed, and Fanny is grown.
Tom!
You require my presence, sir?
I've been calling for you this last half hour.
Sir Thomas Bertram's eldest son and heir, Tom, is now a man. He has never suffered or learned to think, and although he can feel some sorrow over his losses at gambling and other pleasures, he consoles himself cheerfully that he is not half so much in debt as some of his friends.
Have you no sense of shame?
I do not understand you, sir.
Do you mean to make your younger brother Edmund pay for all your indulgences?
I mean nothing of the sort, father.
You know very well that Edmund has been promised a living at the parsonage.
Well, he will make a creditable clergyman, no doubt.
And you know also that my affairs have recently incurred considerable losses.
Such matters have forever undergone periods of loss and profit. Is it not the nature of the beast, father?
Would that you were interested enough, Tom, to understand the first thing about it. I have paid your debt. And the price has been Edmund's living. I cannot assist him now. You have robbed him of the position which was rightfully his. I despair of you, Tom.
Edmund, thought you might be here.
Don't you think horses are the most patient of animals? Poor Charlie here listens to everything I say and nods and rubs his head on my shoulder, and all he wants for it is a carrot.
Perhaps I should try giving Aunt Norris a carrot and she might listen to me sometimes. Are you very sad?
No, really I'm not. I don't need Father to help me find a position. I'll easily find one myself when the time comes.
Of course you will. But it isn't fair.
Poor Fanny. You feel everyone's sorrows as deeply as your own.
Yes, but you've worked so hard, and Tom, well, he never works at all.
Tom will have Mansfield Park one day. It's a great weight to carry.
Are things very serious? Please tell me. I know there's something wrong.
Why can I speak so openly with you, Fanny, when I cannot do so, would not dare to do so with my mother or sisters?
That's simple, because we are friends.
My father is going to the West Indies soon. He has not spoken to me, but I know there must be a problem, quite a serious problem, if he cannot afford to secure a position for me.
He has lost his money.
My father is a sensible man. He will not have all of his assets in one place, but yes, I think it is very serious indeed.
I have lived before with very little money.
But you are strong, Fanny. Think of mother. Think of my sisters. If they do not have 2 dozen pairs of shoes to choose between them, they would not think it possible to leave the house.
Well, it is always necessary for a lady to have a suitable hat for every occasion.
Men and women are afraid to lose their position in society.
If position is denoted by a lady's choice of hat, I'd rather be a horse.
We are the best of friends, are we not, Fanny Price?
Yes. The best of friends.
Brother! What's the matter with you? You're riding like a girl! No, not like that. Like a man on a donkey!
Tom, for pity's sake, what's your intention, to kill yourself?
I might as well. Antigua, God have mercy on me. Why is it I must go with Father? Why can he not have sent me to hell or delivered me into the hands of bandits? At least my death would have been quick.
He wants you with him to assist him with his work.
No, I think not. No. Rather, he does not want me here.
You might find it interesting once you get there.
You, brother, might indeed find something of interest, but I would rather live, breathe, drink, for pity's sake. And that's why he's done it. To crush the very life out of me. Well, he won't succeed.
Ah! Tom!
Oh, Sir Thomas, 6 months, a whole winter and spring shall pass before we are reunited.
I shall bring you back your son just as soon as our business is completed. Oh. Now try not to concern yourself, my dear. All will be well.
And Tom, do be careful and pay great attention to your health.
Yes, 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 I will, Mama.
Goodbye, Father.
I'm leaving the care of the family and the estate in your hands, Edmund.
Do not be concerned, Father. I shall take care of everything.
Julia.
Father.
Mariah.
Father, might you perhaps bring me back a shawl?
I am sure we shall find you some gifts.
A shawl would certainly assist an old widow such as myself in the long winter nights.
You hear that, Tom? We must not forget a nice shawl for Mrs. Norris also. Goodbye, Fanny.
Goodbye, sir.
The family return, one by one, to the house. Only Edmund and Fanny remain until the carriage is no more than a speck upon the horizon. They sense something which has gone quite unnoticed by the rest of the family. Change is pressing down upon them, as surely as the coming winter, and Fanny wonders, as she gazes out across the land, what the nature of her destiny will be.
In part one of Mansfield Park, Amanda Root was the voice of Jane Austen. Fanny was played by Felicity Jones. Edmund was Benedict Cumberbatch. Sir Thomas was Tim Pigott-Smith. And Lady Bertram, Liza Sadovy. Mrs. Norris was played by Julia Mackenzie. Tom was David Tennant. And Mrs. Price, Anastasia Hill Young. Young Fanny was Clarissa Hoot. Young Edmund, Jack Blumenau. Young Mariah, Lauren Bird. And young Julia, Alex Bird. It was dramatised by Lynn Coughlan, and the director was Sally Avens. And tomorrow Fanny will have to deal with some new neighbours from London when we return to Mansfield Park at the same time.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
In 15 minutes, Martin Jarvis will give voice to G.K. Chesterton's inquisitive civil servant. Mr. Pond will leap to the defence of a friend accused of murder. Before that, we hear of the rapturous welcome Queen Victoria received on her visit to Belfast in Dr. Jonathan Barden's Short History of Ireland.
This is A Short History of Ireland in 240 episodes. Episode 191, The Growth of Belfast.
At 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday, the 10th of July, 1849, the Belfast Harbour Commissioners, members of the Town Council, the principal gentry and merchants of Belfast, and officers and men of the 13th Regiment